Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building an old-school jungle pad drift in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the way it actually works in a real drum and bass track. This is not about making a giant shiny pad that takes over the whole tune. It's about that hazy, unstable atmospheric bed that sits behind the breaks, bass, and chops, and gives the record its mood. In jungle and old-school D&B, the pad is part of the identity. It adds memory, motion, scale, and that slightly uneasy feeling that makes the track feel alive. By the end of this lesson, you should be able to make a pad that feels like it's breathing and drifting across the stereo field, with enough grit and movement to sound authentic, but still clean enough to survive a proper D&B mix. We want nostalgic, emotional, and slightly worn. Think haunted memory, not polished trance wash. Let's start simple. Load up a MIDI track and choose something basic like wavy-eatable or analog. Don't overthink the sound at the beginning. For this style, the chord shape matters more than fancy synthesis. Start with a saw wave, or a blend of saw and triangle if you want a softer edge. Hold a minor chord, or even better, a minor seventh voicing. If you're not sure where to begin, try root, minor third, and seventh, spread out across the keyboard instead of stacked tightly together. That open voicing is important. It gives you that spacious old-school feel, the kind of chord that leaves room for the drums to breathe. Keep the amp envelope fairly gentle too. A little attack, something around 20 to 80 milliseconds, and a longer release around 1.5 to 4 seconds. You want the note to bloom, not click. Why this works in D&B is pretty simple. Old-school jungle pads often came from sampled chords, older synths, or hardware textures that already had character baked in. They were harmonically simple, a bit imperfect, and full of vibe. That's exactly what you want here. The pad should support the break, not compete with it. Now let's shape the movement. Add auto filter after the instrument and start with a low-pass filter. That's usually the safest choice for classic drift. Keep the cutoff fairly closed at first, somewhere around a few hundred hertz up to maybe 1.5 kilohertz depending on how dark you want it. Then automate it slowly over 8 or 16 bars so the pad feels like it's opening and closing with the arrangement. What to listen for here is whether the movement feels like fog shifting or like an obvious synth effect. If you can clearly hear the filter sweep as a feature, it's probably too much for this style. The movement should be gentle and musical. More drift, less wobble. More atmosphere, less look at my filter. If it gets too bright, close it down again and reduce the resonance. If it feels too static, extend the automation and make the curve smoother. This is all about patience. Let the pad evolve slowly, and it starts sounding like part of the record instead of a plug-in demo. Now we add that old-school instability. Jungle pads often feel alive because they are not perfectly stable. A tiny bit of pitch drift, oscillator movement, or slow filter modulation goes a long way. In wavy-eatable, you can use a very slow LFO. In analog, you can use subtle modulation to create a little life in the sound. Keep the rates low, something like one cycle every 2 to 8 bars, and keep the depth tiny. The goal is not to hear detuning. The goal is to feel the note breathing. That slight imperfection is what gives you that sampled, worn, tape-like character that suits old-school jungle immediately. If you want a hazy, haunted atmosphere, go with subtle pitch drift. If you want a slightly more obvious dubby movement, lean more into filter drift. Both can work, just don't overdo it. Now let's build a practical stuck device chain. A really solid starting point is instrument into auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, then maybe chorus ensemble or a very subtle delay if the track needs more width. Auto filter handles the brightness and movement. Saturator adds harmonic density and helps the pad feel older and thicker. EQ8 cleans up the low end and any harsh top. Chorus ensemble or delay can add width and motion, but keep it restrained. Start the saturator gently. A few dB of drive is enough, maybe 1 to 4 dB. If it starts getting edgy, use soft clip. Then match the output so you're comparing honestly and not just tricked by loudness. With EQ8, high-pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on how much room the sub needs. If the pad clouds the snare, cut a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. And if the top end is too brittle, tame some of that 3 to 6 kHz area. This is one of those moments where less is more. If the pad already feels emotionally right, stop there. Don't keep stacking devices just because the arrangement is still empty. Old school atmospheres often work because they are committed, not endlessly polished. At this point, you want to decide whether the pad feels more sample-like or synth-like. That's a big flavor choice. If you bounce it to Audino, you can add a little more warble, filtering, or even a touch of distortion after the fact, and it starts feeling like a real old sampler texture. That's often a strong move for beginner jungle work, because it gives you something concrete to arrange with. If you keep it as an instrument track, you have more flexibility. You can keep editing the notes, changing the automation, and adjusting the synth later. Both approaches are valid, but if the sound already feels right, printing it to audio can help you commit and move the arrangement forward. What to listen for when you bounce it is whether the printed version feels more record-like. Does it still breathe, or does it become flat? If it becomes flat, don't panic. Add a little automation after resampling instead of constantly redesigning the synth. Sometimes the sound only needs movement in the audio stage. Now let's make it musical across the actual track. Pad drift works best when it moves on phrase boundaries, not randomly every bar. Think 4, 8, or 16 bar sections. Open it a little before a drum change. Close it a little before a break comes back in. Let the pad help tell the story. A simple arrangement idea could be dark and filtered in the first 8 bars, opening up over the next 8, then ducking a little while the drums intensify, and finally returning wider for a breakdown or halftime moment. That kind of long phrase movement is what makes it feel like atmosphere instead of loop filler. If you want a really efficient workflow, duplicate your automation shapes once you find a good one, then make small changes. You do not need a completely different motion pattern every bar. Keep it coherent. That's part of what makes it sound professional. Now bring in the break and the sub. This is where the pad has to prove it belongs in a DNB tune, not just in solo. Loop it with drums and bass for at least 30 seconds. Listen carefully. What to listen for is this. Does the groove feel bigger with the pad on, or less defined? If the track loses punch, the pad is probably too bright, too wide, or sitting too much in the 200 to 800 Hz area. The snare is usually the anchor in jungle, so if the pad gets in the way of the snare crack or the break's midrange, trim it back before you add more movement. Also check the sub. The sub should stay centered and obvious. The break should keep its transient punch. The pad should add emotion without stealing rhythm. If it fights the drums, reduce the low end first. If that's not enough, turn the pad down. Background elements lose arguments against the break in jungle. That's the rule. Width is important too, but handle it carefully. Old school atmospheres love stereo space, yet DNB still needs mono discipline. Keep everything below roughly 150 to 250 Hz out of the pad completely. Let the body live in the center safe range, and let the width happen higher up. If you use chorus ensemble, keep it subtle. Too much chorus can smear the phase and make the sound collapse badly in mono. Check mono regularly. If the pad disappears or turns into a thin ghost, the stereo effect is too dependent on phase. Reduce the depth or simplify the sound. A good pad should still feel like the same musical idea in mono. It does not need to stay huge, but it should survive. That matters in DNB because club systems and DJs expose weak phase relationships fast. If the pad still feels too polite, add a second layer instead of overprocessing the main one. You can duplicate the MIDI or duplicate the audio, then make the second layer more filtered, noisier, or a little more detuned. Maybe bandpass it so it lives in the mid-range. Maybe add a touch of extra saturation. Keep it quieter than the main pad. That support layer is not there to take over. It's there to give the sound a darker fingerprint. If you start stacking too much, print it to audio and commit. Once the pad becomes a stack of evolving layers, bouncing it keeps the session clean and helps you stay focused on arrangement. A really useful trick here is to think of the pad as background weather, not a second lead. If you mute it and the track suddenly sounds cleaner and punchier, the pad is probably too much. If you mute it and the track loses emotion, you're on the right path. That's a great quick test. Let's place it where it earns its keep. In the intro, use the pad filter dark and lonely. Let it set the mood before the break lands. In the breakdown, let it open up a little and give the tune some emotional release. Before the drop, automate a slow rise so the energy feels earned. During the first drop, you might thin it out or remove it completely for the first 8 bars so the drums and bass define the tune. Then bring it back for the second phrase, maybe darker, maybe wider, maybe with a slightly different inversion. That contrast is powerful. It makes the arrangement feel like it's developing instead of repeating. In jungle, that late arriving atmosphere can make the second drop hit harder without weakening the impact of the first one. If you want an extra dark touch, try making a printed version that's half closed on the filter and another that's a bit more open. Switching between them across sections gives you progression with almost no extra writing. You can also reverse a short pad phrase and place it before a fill or transition. That old school reverse answer move is subtle, but it adds tension beautifully. Let's cover a few mistakes to avoid. First, Too much low end in the pad. That muddies the sub and makes the kick feel smaller. High pass it more aggressively than you think you need to. Second, overwide chorus that falls apart in mono. Keep checking. Third, filter movement that's too fast. If it feels like trance, slow it down. Fourth, too much brightness. If the pad fights the snare and cymbals, soften the top. Fifth, too much saturation. A little grit is great. Too much turns the atmosphere into a buzzy mess. And one more important thing, do not leave the pad as a huge live synth while the track gets busy. Freeze it, flatten it, or resample it once the movement is working. That gives you control and keeps the session moving toward arrangement instead of endless tweaking.